Okay, it's a minute and dismiss children for children's church. So upstairs, anyone up through second grade, you are free to head up there at this time. This morning's message, I'm sure, is about what everybody desires and wants to hear about today, coronavirus. So this morning's message is about COVID-19, not really, but it is a little bit. It's a message about COVID-19 in the sense that it's a message more about any of life's situations that threaten our stability and strike some fear into us. And even though actually nothing probably has happened to us personally yet related to all of the media, all of the news that's happening in the world, there are threats that are happening that are threatening to unnerve us or to unsettle us and strike fear into our hearts. You say, well, what kind of threats? What kind of things are being threatened by this? Well, it's certainly threatening to our health. Maybe you've even thought of, up until this time, well, what if I did catch a virus? How would my body respond? Would I be in the percentile of population that things go well? Would I be in a percentile of the population where things didn't go well? So there is a threat that could potentially be to our health. I think right now, just in the way that things in the world are spiraling downward, there's threats to our plans. Travel, vacations, things that we were hoping to do, sporting events, all of that is a threat to our plans. And so that can seem to unnerve us a little bit, disrupt things in our lives. There's certainly a threat to our financial security. If you were watching the stock markets at all last week, I read the story of one man who about 80% of his financial investments for retirement were wiped out in 1 week. You think about that, just a threat to our financial security. Can be a threat to our routines and our structure. As of Tuesday, the governor of the state of Illinois has asked for schools to be closed down. That's going to be disruptive to many people's routines, the way they go about the structure of their lives. It's also threatening to our stability. You know, probably living here in central Illinois up until just recently, you might not have thought that a whole lot that takes place in different parts of the world would affect us. Something that goes on in Iceland or Greenland or Australia, or a food market in China. It has far-reaching effects, and so many times maybe the world is big and it's so far out there, and things that happen somewhere else don't necessarily affect us, but right now they seem to be affecting us in a tremendous way. The world has shrunk down in many regards, but also can be threatening to our creature comforts. If you've been to the store at all the last couple of days, you realize shelves are empty. Things that you normally take some solace in or find food and necessities, they're just not readily available. They're not there. So there is a very real sense in that even though we may not have directly been affected yet by some of these things, they do disrupt areas of our life and they threaten us with fear. And that's the thing. It's pushing against our lives to cause us to fear. And so that's why it's about COVID-19, but it's about so much more, because life has a way of doing this, of bringing things into our days, our weeks, our months, and our years that threaten to cause us to fear. The question becomes then, what are we to do? What do we do? How do we rid ourselves of fear, especially when things like our security or our safety are threatened? One of my favorite answers to that question of what are we to do comes from the reformer Martin Luther. And often in his life, when he was feeling overwhelmed, he was feeling threatened, he was feeling that the security of the things that he had put emphasis in were being washed away, he would say this to his friend Philip. And his friend Philip Melanchthon was a friend and also a co-worker in the gospel. He would say this to him, "Philip, come, let us sing Psalm 46. And oftentimes in life, when he was feeling discouraged, threatened, overwhelmed, would come together and sing Psalm 46. That's what we're going to do this morning, not sing it per se, but we are going to study what is it in Psalm 46 that would have such power and stability that would allow our fears to dissipate, allow our fears to be dispelled. It is that we will do this. We will look at the God who gives us comfort, who puts calm into our lives, who allows us to live with composure, knowing that He is our fortress and our strong tower. So the title of this morning's message is Our Refuge and Strength During COVID-19, but really it's a host of other troubles. It's all of life. How can we live a life without fear? How can we put our trust and our stability in God and Him alone? Psalm 46. Now, before we jump into this text, I want us to just think of some background or give you a little background of what this psalm is about. Two possible events that took place in the background of this psalm. I don't know, scholars are kind of back and forth on which of these events is actually accurate. At the end of the day, I don't know that it matters too much for us to interpret it, but I'll give you the background, the potential backgrounds of this psalm. One of the possibilities of the background of this psalm is that the armies of the east were coming upon Jerusalem under the reign of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, and God told Jerusalem not to fight these armies, but to watch Him take care of the situation. And what ended up happening is the coalition of those armies turned on each other, they fought themselves, and the threat was dissipated. The other possibility is that the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, attacked Jerusalem during the reign of Hezekiah. And in this instance, the Lord sent an angel through the camp as they were surrounding Jerusalem, and 185,000 soldiers in one night died. And so they dispersed and the threat was dissipated. So we're not exactly sure because the psalm doesn't tell us which of those background stories actually gave rise to the writing of this psalm, but either one would lend us to believe this and lend us to understand this. God was a fortress in both situations. Even though Jerusalem was under the threat of tremendous fear. And so the sons of Korah sit down and write this song. It's a song to be sung. I'll get to these words in just a moment, but it was something that they could carry with them in tune to let their hearts be strengthened. Might I just challenge us with this? Even in a day of uncertainty, find a song that puts strength into your heart and sing it to the Lord again and again. Let Psalm 46 or the idea of Psalm 46 put a song in your heart so that you can sing this and draw strength from it. Psalm 46, well, first of all, this entire psalm is about God's presence and how He is a refuge and a strength to us in times of potential fear. But Psalm 46 celebrates the fact that God alone is our defense. He is our strength. He is our help in times of trouble. So with this, let's go to Psalm 46. We'll first of all see these first three verses that God's presence actually calms us. God's presence brings calm to us. Look with me at Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. The inscription to this psalm says, to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. So just telling us what is the purpose of this psalm. It was to the choir master, sung according to idea of Alamoth would have been a way to sing it or a liturgical or musical term, but it was to be sung. Let's look here at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. These first few verses are telling us, teaching us, that God's presence calms us It uses this word refuge. God is a refuge. It means our shelter of protection, that God alone is our ultimate defense. He's our ultimate security. God is our ultimate safety. We know from people that are into survival strategies and plans and techniques that there's a number of things that survivalists need. They need food, they need water, they need fire, and they need shelter. Shelter is very important here. And for God to be depicted or to be described as our refuge or as our shelter should give us tremendous calm to know that we can run to the Lord who is our shelter, our refuge. These first few verses also are describing a worst case scenario. Do you know what's taking place here in verses 2 and 3? It's describing a tsunami tidal wave that was brought about by an earthquake. Look what happens in verse 2. We will not fear, though the earth gives way. This is the shaking of the earth. Though it is unstable under our feet, and an earthquake takes place. What does this do? It causes the mountains to be moved into the heart of the sea. These mountains tumble over, and in the tumbling over of the water, they create a tsunami wave. That in verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there's this back and forth worst case scenario. Could you imagine? And what this song is trying to depict is someone standing there watching everything they know go completely to oblivion. The ground beneath them shakes. Mountains topple over into the waters. The waters make this tremendous tidal wave and begin to slap against the surrounding area. Could you think of a more unsettling, unnerving scene? And it is in the midst of this earthquake and tidal wave and all of this, he says, and they are to be singing this back and forth to each other, we will not fear because of these circumstances. Now, how can Scripture say this? How can they not fear even when the worst case scenario could be painted here for us? It says, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. This is the picture that Scripture gives to us in the midst of unsettling circumstances outside of us. The most unsettling of circumstances that would strike threats into our heart to fear, Scripture directs us, look to God. Look to God, who is our refuge, our strength, and a present help in time of trouble. Refuge is a shelter of protection. Strength, we look to God because it is Him and not our circumstances that allow us to have strength of heart. If our internal heart, if our composure and the makeup of who we are was completely dependent upon our external circumstances, we would all go insane. We would look around day by day and say, everything is unnerving and I can't handle it. But the Lord brings strength to our hearts. We look to Him. He is the one who gives us strength. We look for strength from above, not from without, not from within, but it is from the Lord Himself. And this is very interesting there at the end of verse 1. It says that our refuge and strength is a very present help in trouble. This idea of being a present help is this: God is very findable. He's very findable. He's not hiding from us in our distress. He's not hiding from us in our unnerving. He's not hiding from us when things go wrong. He's very findable. He is a prayer away. At any time, for any reason, in any circumstance, God's help is a prayer away. Maybe you're familiar with just uttering those simple words, God, help me. Lord, I need help. I am given in fear to this thing. Lord, would you calm my heart? Would you be my refuge? Would you give me this calm, knowing that your presence is here, that you are very findable, and that you are my strength? In our troubles, God's presence calms us like a shelter brings calm on a windy day. You know, it is a little bit windy out here in the country, and oftentimes, even walking from my car to the front door on a typical day, if I've got a handful of papers or a bag or whatever I might be carrying, that wind is whipping, and the papers are fluttering, and I'm wondering if I can even get into the door without things going every which way. And as soon as I pull open the door and step inside and the door closes, there's an immediate calm. Though there's wind still blowing outside, and I can see the effects of it because the trees are shaking and the bushes are rattling, I am inside the shelter, and therefore my heart is calm. There's no more rustling about, no more anxiousness of losing anything. This is what this verse is telling us, that when we come to the Lord, the door of shelter opens, we step inside, we acknowledge him in prayer, and his presence calms us. Here's the great thing of this psalm, though. It doesn't stop there. These next verses invite us to investigate how sturdy this shelter is. It doesn't just say, the Lord is a shelter, and you think, well, what kind of shelter? Is this kind of a rickety shelter, or is this a stable shelter? At the end of the next section, the psalmist is going to describe it as a fortress, something that cannot be shaken. That's the type of shelter that God is. He's an unshakable shelter that cannot be shaken. And so we're invited into these next verses, not just to know that God calms us, but that God comforts us with his presence. It's not enough just to step in the doors out of the wind and be calmed, but to know that you are truly in a place of comfort, truly in a place of unshakable stability. I just wonder if this morning we would ask the question, do you take trust and refuge in God this way? Do you trust that God can take your heart beyond just calm, but to actually be comforted? Let's look at these next few verses, verses 4 through 7. God's presence doesn't just calm us, but it also brings us deep comfort. It brings us deep comfort. Let's look at Psalm 46, verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And do you notice the contrast? We just panned away from the scene of this tsunami tidal wave and all of these things upending and all of this chaos to verse 4. Oh, and by the way, there's this river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, kingdoms totter, but he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, you see where we've moved from just being a shelter, the God of Jacob is our fortress. This is Martin Luther's classic song that we probably all would know by heart. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. He would invite his friends to come and sing Psalm 46, and he put it to tune, he put it to words, a mighty fortress is our God. This is the presence of God that moves on from just calming us to bringing comfort. So in keeping with that calm that takes place inside a shelter, the psalm now invites us to investigate the rafters. You know, kick the tires, shake the walls a little bit, investigate the sturdiness of this shelter that is God. And upon seeing its integrity, we gain great comfort, knowing that he is unshakable. What kind of shelter and refuge is the Lord? He's describing it in verses 4 through 7 here, that the Lord provides calm, life-giving rivers of water. In contrast to the chaos, he is life-giving rivers of water. His perfect provisions make his people glad. This is the way that God cares for us, for his people. His presence makes situations sturdy. The holy habitation of the Most High, he makes glad the city of God. His help in verse 5 is as sure as the morning. And in verse 6, even though disasters have a say, God's voice speaks the final word. Doesn't matter how much the nations might rage and kingdoms might totter, when the Lord speaks and utters his voice, the earth melts. He has the final say. He is the sturdy one. And in verse 7, he commands heavenly armies. Don't you love this phrase, the Lord of hosts? He's not just the Lord of one, or the Lord of a few, or the Lord of a couple. He is the Lord of an army of hosts that stretch from one side of the heavens to the other. He is the sturdy, unshakable one, the Lord of hosts, and he commands these heavenly armies. So upon considering and examining all of these things, we conclude with the psalm that God is not just a refuge that calms us. He's a fortress that gives us complete comfort. He is a fortress that gives us complete confidence. Maybe it would help for us to think of it this way. Plexiglass can calm you. Bulletproof glass can comfort you. We know the difference there, right? Maybe you've seen this video. It's been around on the internet for a while, but there's some people standing at a zoo. Behind them is the enclosure of the tigers. And as the back of one of these people is turned, the tiger begins its sneaky crawl. And as tigers often do, they attack from behind. And through this video, you see the scene unfolding as this tiger is crawling through the waters and without notice leaps and jumps to attack this person who's standing there unaware. Fortunately, there was bulletproof glass between the tiger and the man. And there was great comfort knowing that that tiger could not come through. Imagine if that was plexiglass. Crazy. There's no way. There might be a little calm for a moment, but there would be no comfort. But brothers and sisters, we find in this psalm that it is moving from telling us that God is just a God of calm, a plexiglass that would certainly withhold some of the wind and some of the storms that come, to this: God is an impenetrable bulletproof glass that not only calms our hearts, but comforts us, that he is unshakable, that he is impenetrable, that he is the God on the throne, and when he speaks, it happens. Let's close out this psalm. We've moved from him being a shelter to a fortress, but now finally in these last few verses, God's presence doesn't just calm us. It doesn't just comfort us. It composes us. It allows us to live a life of composure. And this is what composure means: to have steady control over our emotions. To be able to live in a way that has steady control from the inside out. With God's presence and our living under his comfort and care, we can live this life of composure. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. Now there's this invitation. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. In other words, he takes care of all enemies. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This psalm closes with an invitation to behold, to observe, to remember, to rehearse in our minds the mighty works of God. So from inside the calming shelter, inside the comforting fortress, we are called to look out, to be still, and to look outside at all of the works that the Lord has done. See, what does that mean to look outside? To within the calming, comforting shelter and fortress of God, to look outside. It means in these moments, and brothers and sisters, in a time of uncertainty in the world, let our minds constantly be rehearsing the acts, the power, all that God has done. Let our minds be remembering these things so that they bring composure to us. You say, well, what are some of these things? Well, can we not rehearse and remember how God led Moses and the people out of Egypt? How he brought them to the banks of the Red Sea, and he tells Moses, stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. And God gathers up and heaps the waters on the side, and the people walk through on dry ground. Can we not rehearse and remember in our minds the ways that the Lord delivered Gideon and his 300 men from an army that far outnumbered them? Or from Daniel when he and his friends were thrown into a fiery furnace? Or David when he met even the unbeatable foe in Goliath? Can we not stand back for a moment, and even as we think about ancient victories of God, think about current victories even in our own lives, our own families, and our own churches? That what we are being asked to do here is to come and behold the works of the Lord. Behold his character, behold his track record, behold his history. And when we behold these things and we think of them, we are allowed to live a life not just of calm and comfort, but of composure, knowing that we pray, we trust, and we serve the very same God. When we do this, this gives us composure in life to have steady control of our days, steady control of our hours, steady control of our lives. So how can we face COVID-19 or insert anything else into the blank there? How can we face these things, these troubles, without fear? We know and trust that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our impenetrable fortress. That is how this psalm ends. Look at the last thought. If you sung this or if you read this psalm, the last thought that is left with you, the God of Jacob is our fortress. He is a strong and mighty shelter for his people. That is the ending thought. Therefore, even in the face of troubles, we can be calm, comforted, composed, because God is a fortress shelter. When my wife and I were first married, we were living in California for a couple of years. And we went camping with our church there into the Sequoia National Park. And this was a tent camping adventure. And so we had not been too accustomed to that, but we bought our tent, we loaded up, and we headed into Sequoia National Park. We set up our tent, and that first night, we start to go to sleep. Sequoia National Park is bear country, just didn't know. And we had someone on this trip with us. It was a young boy, he's probably about 10 years old. He was excited to see a bear. We didn't realize this till later, but he had filled his pockets with beef jerky, and he walked through our camp and was dropping food all over the camp to lure the bears in so he could see them. What that did for us as Davette and I were getting ready to go to sleep is we began to hear some rustling of some rather large animals that were coming closer and closer and closer. Here we are trying to go to sleep, increasing in our fear a little bit at a time, until we had a bear pawing at our tent, snorting. It had to be 6 inches away. I don't know, because there was this tremendous nylon tent separating us from the bear. All I remember is this: I felt no calm or comfort whatsoever from a nylon tent in bear country. The only comfort that we actually ended up getting is when the Rangers came with their guns that had some salt pellets and stuff in it, began shooting these things at the bears to scare them off. But I remember that incident very well. The nylon tent was no shelter. It was no fortress in bear country. I think what we find in many people in our world, and at times we're even tempted to do this in our own lives, we are erecting nylon tents, trying to have calm and comfort and composure to the things that are on the outside. Brothers and sisters, they're too terrifying. They're too large, they're too great for us to put up small things to fight against large troubles. This is the only thing that will protect us. It is the only true and sure fortress in our lives. God is our fortress. God gives our hearts calm. God gives our hearts composure. God gives our hearts strength and comfort. Nothing else. Your money could be gone in a flash. We saw that just this week. Your health could be eroding before you realize it. Even the earth could shake and tremble underneath us. May we not be guilty of putting up nylon tents to stave off the troubles that are out there. Brothers and sisters, let me say one last thing before we close today. These troubles that we face in this life are but a test. They're a test of the final trouble that we all will face, and that is the leaving of this earth when this life is over. If we can't stand up today, and if we have fear at the lesser troubles, how are we ever going to face the greatest trouble when this life is over? Here is how we do that. We stake our claim in the strong and sturdy one. We stake our claim in Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, who, when he said to Lazarus and those around him after bringing him back from the dead, "Whoever believes on me, though he die, yet will he live," that is an impenetrable fortress. That is one in whom nothing can defeat. Death is our greatest enemy. Jesus has overcome death. So he is our stronghold. Jesus is our fortress. He is our impenetrable rock. Brothers and sisters, if we can't put our faith and trust in God in times of smaller troubles, how are we ever going to put our faith and trust in him to alleviate us of fear, to calm us, comfort us, give us hope and composure when we face the greatest of troubles? Ah, but here is the key. Put your faith and hope and trust in him. He is a strong fortress that can never be penetrated. Our God is our strong tower. He is our help. He is our fortress. He is our strength. Can we put our trust in him today? Let me ask us to just bow our heads and close our eyes. And for a moment, I don't do this often, but this passage just seems to invite us to do this. Verse 10 says to just be still and know that I am God. Can we just, in the quietness of our seats here this morning, be still? And I just want to ask this question. Are you struggling at all in your heart today, whether it be from the epidemic that is circling our globe to anything else? Maybe it's a surgery that you're facing this week. Maybe it's a financial difficulty that you're facing. Can we just take a moment and be still and ask the Lord, God, I need you to calm me. I need you to comfort me. I need you to give me composure in my heart. Might we just take a moment here, be still, know that he is God, and ask him for his help in times of trouble. Lord, we thank you for your strong and your sure word, that you would let these words of your truth bind themselves to our heart today, tomorrow, and all of our days going forward, that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth gives way. Lord, would you grant us calm? And even beyond that, would you grant us comfort, knowing that you are our fortress? And give us composure to walk out our days, not in fear, but in confidence of you, that we might sing the words of this great song: a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. If you ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he, the Lord of hosts his name, from age to age the same, and he will win the battle. Lord, thank you for being unto us a refuge and a strength, a very reachable help in times of trouble. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.